And we're going to call our teaching Discerning the Light and Dark Times. Discerning the Light and Dark Times. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew 10. And let's look at verses 26 and 27 of Matthew 10. And it says this: "Therefore do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. Whatever you hear in the ear, preach on the housetop." Here, Jesus is revealing how we are to walk in the light as he is the light. We're told he is the light of the world. And this light has come into darkness to shine up the way. This light is tremendously powerful. This light reveals where we stand with Almighty God. There are many who can confess and speak the word, but they have no light in them. You see, we have to be of the light, God's light, in order of which to see. And he says quite clearly in verse 26, because he is the light of the world, everything that is covered by man or the enemy, will be brought out into the light. And eventually it is. We often see in the course of history where things have been covered up, or for many, many years, or whatever it would be, and suddenly it's revealed, it comes out, the truth. You see, God always has a right time in which to bring those things out, the same in our lives. There are some things that God has to bring out into the light with regard to our lives. And he has a right time in which he does it. Because if he doesn't do that, those areas of darkness where we still look to hide will consume us. It will take over and devour us. And so he says in verse 27, "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetop." So he's talking here about this word, this anointed word, what we read, what we teach and preach upon. This is light, and it exposes darkness. And he says we are to speak this out. For the word of God is the light of the world. As it opens up in the Gospel of John, that he came in the flesh, the light of the world, in which to light up the way. And this light can never be put out. Even though the enemy might try to put this light out, he may try to attack the gospel, its teaching and so on, but it never will. It never will. And we know that the Antichrist is coming forth as an angel of light in which to deceive. So the enemy always counterfeits God's light. But that's all it is. God's light can never be put out. The Antichrist and his light, which is a counterfeit, will be put out. And that is the difference. And so we see there are times when God allows us to go through various experiences. And sometimes he allows us to go through a dark period in which to teach us, in which to hear him and obey him. You see, when we can see, we're fine. It's when we can't see that all our senses and feelings, they change. And that is often where God will at times teach us to obey and to hear him. It's not such a problem if you're truly born again of the Spirit to hear God in the light, and rightly so. But there are going to be periods and times when you go into darkness, because that is going to be your training. I know I've said this before, but in nature, particularly with birds, they are taught to sing at dusk or at night. And there's a reason for that, because they are warning off predators. They are signals, they are sounds. Or they're going to rest for the night. A lot of animals do their hunting, not during the daytime, but at night. And so there are times in which God puts us in the shadow of his hand until we learn to hear from him. Sometimes some of you have said, oh, I seem to be going through such a dry patch. There doesn't seem to be much going on. I don't seem to be able to hear the Lord. And I often say to saints, to stay in there. There's a reason for it. God is training. He's teaching you. He's teaching you to walk by faith and not by your feelings and by your emotions. Turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah, Isaiah 49 and verse 2. And here Isaiah speaks about where the Lord has called him from the womb. And in verse 2, and he says, and he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he has hidden me and made me a polished shaft in his quiver. He has hidden me. So Isaiah is aware that God at times hides him. So he's a quiver, an arrow, that God can use at the right time in which to strike. It's also the idea of a servant hidden until the right time in which to speak. In many ways, the man-child, Revelation 12, is hidden in the spiritual womb of the woman, the church. And there she is developing. God is doing it behind scenes. It's not ready yet to be revealed. The same as servants who serve, there are times when they show themselves and when they don't. There's a time when they speak and when they don't speak. You see, all of this is part of our training, our teaching, so that we can discern the light and also the dark times when God is hiding me for a purpose and a reason. You see, when God puts you in the dark, it is a time you keep your mouth closed. It's like if somebody is looking for you, is out to get you or to arrest you, and somebody says, here, hide in this cupboard. Well, that's the last thing you're going to do is make a noise, a sound. You're going to be very, very quiet. And so it's the same idea with what God does with us. You see, your trials or your circumstances, when you speak in the dark, you will probably say the wrong thing. And that's what we do. Because we're reacting to the conditions, we're reacting to the dark. We don't like it. And so we often can say the wrong things until we are learning by the Spirit that God has got me here for a purpose and a reason. One of the best ways in which your tongue can be tamed, instead of having your say, is where God takes you through dark times and silences you for a reason. We all can be too outspoken, and it's a sign of a lack of the fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom. Darkness is a time in which to listen. You place yourself in total darkness and your hearing becomes very, very sensitive. It does. And that tells us that we don't even talk to other people about it, as there is a right time. There is much as Christians with our walk with God that we hold within our hearts. It's not to talk about. And this is why God comes against gossip, against lies, those things that can cause division in the house of God. These people that do that have little understanding of being trained in the dark in which to learn not to speak, that there is a right time. As Ecclesiastes tells us, there's a time to speak and there's a time to refrain. And so it goes on. You know, the dark often makes us sensitive. It makes us aware of movement, of voices. Your whole senses are all quite different when it's dark. And if you try and walk in the dark, one of the first things that you do, you walk very carefully and you put your hands out to try and feel your way or anything obstacle in front. All quite different. And that's where God at times trains us spiritually in those conditions. You see, darkness is to help us hear and preach on the housetops. I, as a preacher and teacher, need those dark times in my life in which to be able to preach and teach this word. And it's exactly the same, because it says, doesn't it, quite clearly that preaching what is in the dark, you preach out on the housetops. You speak it out, what you've received in the dark or in the trials and tests that you have gone through. At the right time, God enables you to be able to share or to give your testimony of how God preserved and kept you through a great trial. Darkness in your life at that time. But that darkness that you've gone through in trial has enabled you to be able to share that at the right time for others to be blessed or even find the Lord as their Saviour. Never limit how God works with us in which to proclaim this gospel. Even though we are the light of the world, he is the light of the world, yet that light is so great for a season, he may allow you to go through darkness for a purpose. You see, all of this is to keep us humble, to keep our knees bowed before God. Very often, a lot of what God does and works with us is always to deal with that pride, to remove it so that we can believe, we can have faith in the Word of God. You see, people who are proud, arrogant, haughty, who know everything, you will always find those people, they don't really have much of a faith. That is why Jesus rebuked the Pharisees. They were all talk, but no faith. They weren't living it and walking it. And that is always one of the signs. And he rebuked them because there was no light in them. There was darkness. And they're all around us. You don't have to look for that sort of thing. It will appear. And they may know their scriptures. They may be able to recite the word. They may know a lot more than you do. But it doesn't take long to realize that their faith is very shallow. And that is one of the fundamental differences. But you see, God will not have that of us. And that's why he deals with this pride in order to deal with it, remove it, so that we walk by faith. And that is why he's working the faith of a child in us. A child doesn't doubt, doesn't question. A child simply believes. And that is what he's doing with us. And if it requires going through a dark season, then so be it. God will allow that to happen, in which to humble us. You see, when you're going through dark times, when you can't see, it has a tremendous way of humbling you, because your senses are all different. You can't rely on the things that you normally do with that light that you see. Suddenly, everything is different. You're plummeted into darkness. And one of the first things that you sense strongly is vulnerability. You feel vulnerable. And God uses those conditions in which to work that deliverance so that we can hear him and in the right time speak it out that others can be blessed. You see, many times God has been speaking for days, maybe even months. But how long does it take us to listen? You see, we don't always hear straight away, do we? We may be aware that maybe God is highlighting or he's speaking on something or some area, but somehow we just don't want to hear. And so the only way he's going to get us to hear, he's going to have to allow us to go into a period of darkness in which to hear then what he's saying. And always, if God does take us into dark periods, the grace is always there for that purpose. And when you find yourself saying, Lord, it's been such a dark time, such a dry time, how long? You will find God saying, my grace is sufficient. There is a reason I'm allowing you to go through this. It is part of your training. And then suddenly you find you're out in the light. And you look back and you realize what God then was doing. Because he has to work in the heart, the seat of the emotions. You see, a saint who walks humbly before God has learned a vital lesson. They do not know their heart. We do not know our hearts. The Bible is absolutely clear on this. Only God knows the heart and what is in it. And so when we get that from our heads to our hearts, we then realize that we're not quite as confident and as in control as we think we are. And sometimes to get what God sees in our heart, he has to allow us maybe to go in a period of darkness in which to bring it out into the light. Why does he have to bring what is in the heart out into the light? So that you see, for the purpose of confession, forgiveness, getting it under the blood of Jesus. Every confession, everything that you brought out and brought under the blood of Jesus has come as a result of the light of God shining in your heart at that right time. You sometimes say to yourself, why on earth didn't this come out years ago? Why has it taken so long, or whatever it is? Quite simple, because you weren't ready. You couldn't have handled it. And there is the long suffering and mercy and gentleness of God. And this is why he's so long suffering with the bride that's making herself ready. How is she making herself ready? By some of those dark times that she goes through. Through the word of God, walking in the light as he is the light. That is how she makes herself ready. So we see that we have to go through the light and dark times to have a message of the good news of the gospel. This is how the word is anointed. This is how God uses men, the fivefold ministry, the unction, the anointing that is upon them for the word. He's had to use light and dark times in which this word comes forth. This is why teachers, ministers go through trial and tribulation for the sake of the gospel, its teaching, for this very purpose. Because sadly, so many run away from trials in churches. Little is emphasized that you have to go through much trial and tribulation of which to make it into the kingdom of God. Very little is ever preached on that. And so this is why the message is shallow, it's surface. This is why maybe sometimes you've listened to a teaching. You think, oh, I'll listen to this minister or whatever it is. And after about 5 minutes, you get nothing out of it. Do you know why? It's shallow. It's not feeding you. It's not your experience. It's not identifying with your life and walk with Christ. This is why I always keep saying the word of God is a confirmation. It's an identification. It's my name and address upon what I'm hearing. This is speaking into my life, how I walk, what I go through. You see, this is the meat of the word. Most are still are only on the milk of the word. They can't take the meat. I know that as a minister and teacher. I've seen at times where I've given out the meat and it goes right over their heads. I know they don't understand. They've not heard. But of course, God has a right time for us in which to receive his word. We're all in a growth. We're all in transition, change. But it's wonderful when the light finally comes, it will be seen and it will be effective. And that is why God is having from FGA, our walk, our ministry, our witness, our preaching, everything effective, giving all the glory to God. And that's why it's imperative that we walk in the light as He is the light of the world. And as I bring this to a conclusion, let's just look at some scriptures in which to glean from this. For example, in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5 and verses 8 to 11. Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 8 to 11. Sorry, I'm looking. 8 to 11. For we were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. So he says quite clearly that you walk in this light for the purpose of being able to see. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. So the only way we know what is acceptable to God is by walking in the light. And walking in the light starts to mature and the fruit of the Spirit. You see, fruit can only mature in light, in sun. Fruit can't mature in darkness. And that's why Jesus said, by the fruit you will know them. And he says, in the spirit of all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And this is what we're doing. As we come and we share and we open up the word, we're finding what is acceptable to the Lord. And he's revealing to us tonight about light. We are the children of the light. But sometimes he allows us to go through a period of darkness in order for that light to maintain. And he goes on in verse 11, and have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. So those who are in darkness cannot produce proper fruit. It's inferior. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. And so it goes on. So there the apostle says to the church in Ephesians, walk in that light. Because that light that you walk in, the word that you receive, is producing the fruit within you. That harvest. And remember, we have taught over the years that every trial and test we go through, there's a fruit attached to the trial. If your trial is taking, it seems, a long time, there's the fruit of long suffering, the fruit of patience. You draw from that, which is developing in your life. And finally, in the book of Revelation, as it closes in Revelation 21 and verse 23, and here it speaks of the glory of the new Jerusalem. And he says in verse 23 of 21, the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. There we are. In the new Jerusalem, our new abode, in eternity, we won't need any sun, We won't need any moon at all. God's glory will shine in his Lamb throughout eternity. He is the light of the world. And maintain and walk in that light. Have no dealings at all with darkness, things that are unfruitful, that can bring you away from that light. Maintain that light. Keep in that light. For it guides you and leads you. And in light, in sun, the fruit of the Spirit is developed and matured. So there we are, brothers and sisters. An exhortation today, discerning the light and dark times that we go through as Christians. Well, I trust you've been blessed by this.